May the Lord help us to commence our worship this evening with hymn 1140, 1140. Great Shepherd of thine Israel, who didst between the cherubs dwell, and led the tribes, thy chosen sheep, safe through the desert and the deep. Hymn 1140.
Thank you. Return this evening to the Song of Solomon. We will read the opening two chapters. Song of Solomon, chapters 1 and 2. The Song of Songs, which is Solomon's. Let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth. For thy love is better than wine. Because of the savour of thy good ointments, thy name is as ointment poured forth. Therefore do the virgins love thee. Draw me, we will run after thee. The king hath brought me into his chambers. We will be glad and rejoice in thee. We will remember thy love more than wine. The upright love thee. I am black, but comely, O ye daughters of Jerusalem, as the tents of Kedar, as the curtains of Solomon. Look not upon me, because I am black, because the sun hath looked upon me. My mother's children were angry with me. They made me the keeper of the vineyards. But mine own vineyard have I not kept. Tell me, O thou whom my soul loveth, where thou feedest, where thou makest thy flock to rest at noon. For why should I be as one that turneth aside by the flocks of thy companions? If thou know not, O thou fairest among women, go thy way forth by the footsteps of the flock, and feed thy kids beside the shepherd's tents. I have compared thee, O my love, to a company of horses in Pharaoh's chariots. Thy cheeks are comely with rows of jewels, thy neck with chains of gold. We will make thee borders of gold, with studs of silver, while the king sitteth at his table. My spikenard sendeth forth the smell thereof. A bundle of myrrh is my well-beloved unto me. He shall lie all night betwixt my breasts. My beloved is unto me as a cluster of camphor in the vineyards of Engedi. Behold, thou art fair, my love, Behold, thou art fair. Thou hast dove's eyes. Behold, thou art fair, my beloved. Yea, pleasant. Also, our bread is green. The beams of our house are cedar, and our rafters are fir. I am the rose of Sharon and the lily of the valleys. As the lily among fawns, so is my love among the daughters. As the apple tree among the trees of the wood, so is my beloved among the sons. I sat down under his shadow with great delight, and his fruit was sweet to my taste. He brought me to the banqueting house, and his banner over me was love. His left hand is under my head, and his right hand doth embrace me. I charge you, O ye daughters of Jerusalem, by the rose and by the hinds of the field, that ye stir not up, nor awake my love till he please. The voice of my beloved. Behold, he cometh, leaping upon the mountains, skipping upon the hills. My beloved is like a roe or a young hart. Behold, he standeth behind our wall. He looketh forth at the windows, showing himself through the lattice. My beloved spake and said unto me, rise up, my love, my fair one, and come away. For lo, the winter is past, the rain is over and gone, the flowers appear on the earth, the time of the singing of birds is come, and the voice of the turtle is heard in our land. The fig tree putteth forth her green figs, and the vines with the tender grape giveth a good smell. Arise, my love, my fair one, and come away. O my dove that art in the clefts of the rock, in the secret places of the stairs, let me see thy countenance, let me hear thy voice, for sweet is thy countenance, for sweet is thy voice, and thy countenance is comely. Take us the foxes, the little foxes that spoil the vines, for our vines have tender grapes. My beloved is mine, and I am his. He feedeth among the lilies until the day break, and the shadows flee away. Turn, my beloved, and be thou like a roe or a young hart upon the mountains of Bepher. O Lord, Almighty God, help us to venture near thy throne in humble prayer, in reverent worship, in heartfelt praise. Help us to worship thee today in wonder at all thy blessings and all thy mercy without end, thy compassion, loving kindness, for thy faithfulness and love. For all that thou art and hast done for poor, unworthy sinners, that there is a way back for sinners to be reconciled with God, for the advocate above, that friend before the throne of love. Be our advocate now, this evening, as we worship thee. Be our advocate in future days, and be our advocate in the hour and moment of death. Speak to us, O Lord. And make us hear. And make us listen. Make us understand. Make us follow thy directions. Feed and water our souls this day. And may, Lord, our faith be stronger at the close of the day than it was at the beginning of the day. May our walk be nearer to thee than it was at the beginning of the day. Due to the word applied to our souls in thy house here. Bless then the provision of thy house. Fill thy poor with bread. And make those who do not feel to be poor to see their poverty. Make those who have no appetite to be hungry and thirsty after salvation. And where there is that hunger, Lord, to abundantly fill seeking souls this night with thine own blessed self. Lord Jesus, bless this house of prayer. Bless each one gathered here this evening, those from the regular church and congregation, and those who are visiting from other causes of truth. May, Lord, together we sit down at the feet of Jesus and watch him there by faith and learn of his word. May we be led by faith to Calvary, to behold the Lamb of God, expiring for us. May we know that all is finished, and that there's nothing left for us to do. Give us that faith to rest in the finished work of Christ. Remember, Lord, the ministry of thy word, and abundantly bless it here. Let the word be food to nourish those whom thou hast called thine own. Bless each member of this church. And each member of this congregation. Supply their needs, we pray. Watch over them each. Protect them by thy almighty care and love and favour. Appear for them, we pray, as a people. And appear for them in their individual lives as they travel through this journey here below. Bear their every burden. More than that, Lord, may they know what it is to be borne themselves in thine arms and carried by thee. Add to this church and to this congregation both those whom thou hast and whom thou wilt save. Bless and help thee, deacons. Give them all needed wisdom and grace and help that they need. Grant that continued healing to the deacon here. Frankly, what thou hast done for him thus far, go on, we pray, to be gracious. And may, Lord, it be noise that thou art in the house here. That thou art blessing souls here. The knowledge of sin forgiven and peace with heaven. Bless, Lord, the congregations who gather in our land for worship this evening. Help thy servants as they preach thy word this day. Help where there may be reading services. Follow with thy blessing what has already been done today. And grant, Lord, what is done may not be forgotten tomorrow or in the days after that. But may, Lord, the word be food to nourish us right the way through this week. Come then, Lord Jesus, we ask. and bless us together as we worship thee. We ask for Christ's sake. Amen.
Hymn number 619, 619. Creatures are but vain at best, in them is no solid rest. All the world calls good or great, cannot perfect bliss create. Hymn 619.
seeking the Lord's help, we turn this evening to the Song of Solomon, the opening chapter, the 8th verse. Song of Solomon, chapter 1, verse 8. If thou know not, O thou fairest among women, go thy way forth by the footsteps of the flock, and feed thy kids beside the shepherd's tents. If thou know not, O thou fairest among women, go thy way forth by the footsteps of the flock, and feed thy kids beside the shepherd's tents. These are the words of the great shepherd of the sheep to a poor seeker who desires his company, his protection, his rest and his feeding. Here is an answer to prayer. Here is a word of direction. Here is a word of love. Tell me, says this seeker, O thou whom my soul loveth, in order for our souls to love, they have got to be alive. The dead can't love, can they? Because they don't know anything. And until you and I are made alive spiritually, we cannot and we will not love Almighty God. This will not be our language. This is the language of a living soul. Tell me. In fact, this is the fruit, is it not, of love? And to those of you seeking this evening, to those of you, one and another, who found an echo in verse 7 as we read it this evening, but yet you dare not say you love the Lord. Well, the fruit is there, is it not? Why do you want him to tell you where he is if you do not love him? One of the fruits of love, is it not, naturally speaking, is that we desire to be in the company of those we love. So it is spiritually. What company does your soul want to keep? Because that is the measure of its health and life this evening. Is it the world, pleasure, wealth, gain, sin? Or is it the Lord Jesus Christ? Is it a desire after the things of God? Is it to be in his company and in the company of his people? Friends, who are we following? Our eternal destination depends on who we are following. It is either the one speaking in our text, the one referred to by the apostle as that great shepherd of the sheep, or it is Satan himself. And the one who you follow now, the one who you serve now, the one who by your actions now in this life will show who you love, is the master you will spend an eternity with yet to come. And you'll never get into heaven without first walking in verse 7 and then verse 8. Tell me, O thou my soul loveth, where thou feedest, where thou makest thy flock to rest at noon, why should I be as one that turneth aside by the flocks of thy companions? It's evident that this one doesn't feel to be in the company of either the shepherd or the sheep, or they wouldn't be asking this question. Either because they have just spiritually been born again, or because they've wandered off and strayed, and now coming to their spiritual senses want to find the way back again. It could be taken either way. This isn't just the language in the beginning, in the conversion, when you first seek after Christ. This is the language of your soul again and again throughout life. Tell me. And the reason she asks this question is because she doesn't know. She can't find her way on her own. We need guidance. You know, a shepherd once remarked very tellingly that in his experience, a flock of sheep were excellent at being able to wander off, but for some reason they could not find their way back home again. And is not that also true spiritually? We're very good at wandering off. And perhaps Satan said to you, it's only one step, not very far. Not much distance now between you and the shepherd. Easy way back. Friend, if you take the first step, it won't stop there. And nor does Satan intend it either. It'll be another step. And then another one. And before you're ever aware, spiritually you'll be separated from the shepherd and the flock. And do you know what it'll lead to? Spiritual barrenness. You know, a sheep isn't like a goat. It can't feed on anything. A goat can feed on just about anything. Sheep can't. And child of God, when you wander and stray, your faith will be starved. Your faith will go weak and cold and hard. Why? Because you're feeding your natural man. And your natural man can feed on those pleasures and on those sins and on those idols that you prefer when you're not in a state of grace and exercise. But your soul can't. It's been starved. Is it any wonder that you've grown weak and prayerless and careless? What you need is to be brought here into verse 7. Tell me, O thou who my soul loveth, where thou feedest, where thou makest thy flock to rest at noon. For why should I be as one that turneth aside by the flocks of thy companions? She's now come to her spiritual senses. As a good shepherd has sought this one. But you know what the hymn says? But none of the ransomed ever knew how deep, how dark were the waters crossed, how deep were the waters crossed, or how dark was the night that the Lord passed through where he found his sheep that was lost. Out in the desert he heard it cry, faint, famished, and ready to die. That is where backsliding and wandering will always bring your soul in the end. It may take time, but that's where it will end. But you know, that wandering sheep didn't die, did it? And why didn't it die? Because of the love of the shepherd. It couldn't find its way back alone. And so in love, the shepherd went out and found it. That's what the good shepherd always does. And here is one of the marks that you are being brought back, backsliding believer this evening, that this is now the language of your soul. Tell me. It hasn't been, has it? For some while. But it is now. You've been brought to realize the spiritual poverty your wandering has taken you to. Tell me, O thou whom my soul loveth, where thou feedest, where thou makest thy flock to rest at noon. For why should I be as one that turneth aside by the flocks of thy companions? This is also the language of a soul newborn. Here is one of the first marks of grace, a desire for the shepherd's company. For the shepherd to speak, to guide, to lead. By nature, we don't like to be guided or led, do we? We think we can manage on our own. Grace will make you willing to be guided by the good shepherd. Grace will make you realize that you don't know it all. And you can't do it by yourself. Under the Spirit's teaching, you will know that word humility. And it's one of the footsteps of the flock. To be made willing to learn, to be made willing to be taught, to be made willing to listen. It's not a case, friends, of us hearing and then ignoring what he tells us. A true seeker is one who will not only hear, but by grace will follow by grace will obey what the Good Shepherd tells them. Tell me, O thou whom my soul loveth, and to those of you who are seeking this evening, who feel you've not yet found him, you carry on seeking, and you will surely find food and rest, companionship. This is the language of a soul who is spiritually healthy. For surely this is not just the language of the newborn or the one who now wants to be brought back. But by the grace of God, if we are spiritually healthy, we will know our continual need of him to tell us what the way is we should go. Because we are so weak, we cannot even take one step alone and it be right. This is a prayer which is suitable then for every single step of the journey in the spiritual pathway of life. Tell me. And here is one who clearly has now been given a love for the shepherd and also for the sheep. They want the companionship of fellow sheep, fellow lambs, fellow believers. And that again is a mark of spiritual life and health. There's something wrong, friends. If you are isolated from other believers, there's something wrong. If you prefer other company to being in the house of God, yes, there may be occasions when it is necessary, but if it becomes the norm, there's something wrong. We know we have passed from death unto life, says the apostle, because we love the brethren. And do you know what the fruit of your loving the brethren is? One of it will be your desire to be here with the brethren, worshipping with them, communing with them, having union with them. They will be your best friends because you'll feel a union to them you don't feel to the world. And there's something wrong, friends, if you feel a union to the world but not to the brethren of Christ. And if that's you this evening, then ask God to give you a union and a love, both to him and to his sheep here. But now we come to the answer. If thou know not, kind of a rebuke there, isn't there? It's almost as if the shepherd is saying, you should know. You have already been taught. And now you need teaching again. But I will teach you again, he says, if thou know not. To that one newborn who doesn't know the way, the answer is the same direction, to go in the same way, the footsteps of the flock. And to those who are spiritually healthy, the direction is to continue in the footsteps of the flock. If thou know not, O thou fairest among women. Here we have the first time This expression is used. It's only ever used in this book, but it's used repeatedly by Christ, speaking to and of the church, individually and individual members of it. And notice who he's speaking to. He's speaking to one who doesn't yet feel to have found the Lord, or one who feels afar off from the Lord. Trembling seeker this evening, he calls you the fairest among women. Elsewhere he says, thou art all fair, my love, there is no spot in thee. In other words, no sin. It is speaking here that in his eyes you're pardoned. In his eyes you are ransomed, healed, restored, forgiven. Who like these, praise should sing? And in a covenant sense, this is how he always views you, believer. Even though you may be afar off, even though you feel black in yourself, as verse 5 confesses, even though you feel to be polluted and sinful, and you feel keenly your own spiritual backsliding, but yet in the covenant viewpoint of God, you are still the fairest among women. Backslider, you haven't been put out of the covenant of grace by your backslidings. This is a word of pardon here. Precious seeker who as yet doesn't feel to be in the covenant of grace, here is a mark that you are in the covenant of grace, because he wouldn't call you the fairest among women unless you were. Because you can only be fair as you are dressed in the righteousness of Christ, which is a wedding garment, and if you're dressed in that garment, it's an absolute sure certainty that you will get to heaven. Because once dressed in that garment, Satan can't take it off you. Once given by God, he won't take that gift back again. O thou fairest among women. And this is the only way we ever will be fair. Not by what we've done. Not by our efforts. Not by our following even. Not by our walk. Nothing we do can make us fair in and of ourselves in God's sight, because sin is mixed with all we do, and sin can never be fair. It can only be dark and polluted and offensive to God. Go thy way forth, here's the direction, by the footsteps of the flock. Go thy way forth. In other words, forward. You've got to leave behind the ways of sin. You've got to forsake the ways of backsliding that you have been indulging in, believer. That one newly awakened, you've got to leave behind those old ways of sin that you've lived in up until now. You aren't going to find the shepherd there. And you've got to go forth by the footsteps of the flock. Come ye backsliding sons of God, for many such there are, who long the paths of sin have trod. Come. Cast away despair. Return to Jesus Christ and see there's mercy still for such as we. And you know how that hymn ends? It is all of grace. Let no man boast, for Jesus came to save the lost. And he's still saving the lost. Those lost and ruined in sin. It is lost sheep he came to save. It is sinners he came to save. Not the righteous, but the unrighteous. Those who cannot save themselves and know it. Go thy way forth by the footsteps of the flock. It's to you he's speaking, trembling sinner, this evening. And it seems to me what he's saying is, if you want the company of the shepherd and of the flock, and as yet you feel to be parted some way from them, well, go forth in the evidence that they've already been before you. Footsteps. You know what it is, don't you? It's the evidence that someone or something has been there before you, and they've left behind their imprint as an evidence they've gone that way. And if you want to catch up with them, all you need to do is follow their footprints and steps until you find them. This is what the shepherd is saying, believer and seeker. Go your way forth by the footsteps of the flock, and in so doing, he says, you will find me. And you'll find my flock, my sheep. Go thy way forth by the footsteps of the flock. Well, what are the footsteps of the flock? There are many. We can only hint at them this evening. But first of all, we've already really mentioned, have we not, the way of prayer. But this will be one of the first footsteps that you will know. And we don't really, truly pray until we begin to seek. Not spiritually. You may pray over natural things. That's right. That's proper. You should. But you will not pray for your soul until you're taught of your need to pray for your soul. You will not pray for the food and drink which are given to the sheep until you are given a spiritual hunger and a spiritual thirst after them. And here is one of the first footsteps that you will go in. You will feel a hunger and a thirst. And what is a hunger and a thirst? You think of it naturally. It's your body telling you something that you need. And you need quickly, but at the moment you haven't got. So it is spiritually. And seeker this evening, do not despise a hunger and a thirst. Yes, don't be satisfied just with it. Don't be satisfied until it is you are fed and watered. But consider this. Did you ever hunger and thirst in the way you are now, when you were spiritually dead? Do your work colleagues or your neighbours have the same hunger and thirst that you now have? Well, you know the answer. Of course they don't. Well, what's changed? You've changed. And what's changed is you've been given life. And the fruit of that life is that your soul now needs feeding and watering. Your soul needs God and it now desires God. The footsteps of the flock, a hunger and a thirst. And the fruit of that hunger and thirst will mean that you go forth in other footsteps of the flock that you didn't used to go forth before you had this hunger and this thirst. In other words, you are now going to live differently to what you once did. And you are now going to find your priorities and what you want and what you love are different from what they once were. There was a time, was there not, when you never opened the Word of God between services. One of the footsteps of the flock will be that you will open the Word of God between services in private. And it's a mark of spiritual sickness when we begin to lose our appetite for the Word of God. This is our food. The precious promises of His Word. The precious doctrines of His Word. The precious exhortations of His Word. The discipline, yes, may it be made precious. You say, well, how can that be food? I'll tell you why, because it's necessary. Because ultimately it will do you good. That's why it's food. You hadn't thought of that, had you? Oh, the discipline of God as being food, but it is. And when He sees you need it, He will give it you. Because He loves you. That's one of the footsteps, you know, you will never be able to avoid it. We read in Hebrews, I think it is, if ye be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then are ye bastards and not sons. The previous verse says, if ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. And you should prize the evidence that God deals with you as with a son or a daughter. It's not in anger, it's in covenant love. Go thy way forth by the footsteps of the flock. And so, what will be your prayer? Well, it will be very much like verse 7, really, in substance, if it's not in natural language. What it's really asking is for the presence of the shepherd, isn't it? And that will be what you will want. You will want to be in the company of the Good Shepherd. You will want to be fed by the Good Shepherd. You will want to be protected by the Good Shepherd. You will want to know nearness and union, communion, reconciliation, forgiveness. Jesus, save me or I die. That will be the prayer if you're in the footsteps of the flock. Lord, save me. Lord, help me. God, be merciful to me, a sinner. They are the footsteps of the flock. And only those who are in the footsteps of the flock really, truly pray those prayers. And they're answered too. Go thy way forth by the footsteps of the flock. It's asking for guidance and help and direction. And that is something that you are going to need every day of your life. You never grow out of it. Here below, we will never outgrow our need of prayer. Again, one of your desires will be to be made more like the Good Shepherd, to be more like Jesus. If you're following in the footsteps of the flock, one of the fruits is that in your life you will become more like Jesus as you follow his example. Because if you are following in his footsteps, you're going the same way. It is impossible, is it not, either to walk with someone or follow someone and go in the opposite direction? Totally impossible. You've got to be going the same way. You've got to be going at the same pace. There has to be an agreement on the direction of travel. We read somewhere, can two walk together except they be agreed? That is why the world do not follow, because they do not agree with God on the way they should go. And so if you are to know the answer to our text, there's got to be an agreement between God and you, between the Good Shepherd and you. And for that to happen, the change must come with you. It will never come with the shepherd. And so again, that will be one of your prayers. Lord, change me. Lord, give me that new heart, that new nature, which loves the things thou dost love, which desires the things thou desires, which hates the things thou dost hate. Lord, change my appetite, so I love holiness and hate wickedness instead of the other way around. That is one of the footsteps of the flock. And that will have to be a daily prayer, friend. A daily exercise. A daily need. And often we turn aside. The beginning of it was when we stop praying as earnestly as once we did. What a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear. All because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. And friends, isn't it not true? How often do we try and fend for ourselves? Because we think we can. We would know a lot more of the shepherd's care, company, and help if we asked for it more, if we were more dependent. The footsteps of the flock. You'd be taught dependence. And that's not an easy lesson to learn. We don't like it by nature. We like to be independent. Friends, the goats can be independent. They are. But sheep can't be. Because their needs and natures are different. You cannot turn a goat into a sheep or the other way round. And if this evening you realise under the preaching of this sermon suddenly that you are a goat, then begin here by asking God to give you a change of nature. And he will. He will not despise that prayer. Ask him then to do so. And then ask him to make that nature strong. Ask him to give you grace and for it to be maintained, because the old nature doesn't die when we are called by grace, when we are converted, when we are born again. It stays. And you know, the old nature never will change. The old nature never will love God. It never will desire the things of God. It always will go after sin, because that's its nature. It cannot change, and it will not change. But God is stronger than your natural nature. And he can not only give you grace, he can give you more grace. And he's always got more to give. Remember the hymn which I have quoted, "Sometimes he giveth more grace when burdens grow greater. He sendeth more strength when labours increase. To added affliction he addeth his mercy. To multiplied trials his multiplied peace. When we have exhausted our store of endurance, when our strength has failed, ere the day is half done, when we've come to the end of all our hoarded resources." Is that you this evening? And you've come into the Lord's house downhearted, demoralized, defeated, because you feelingly have come to the end and you don't feel you can carry on this week. Do you know how that the last line ends? "Then our Father's full giving has only begun." Just because you've come to the end, he hasn't. Just because you have exhausted your store, he hasn't. And it is one of the footsteps of the flock, painful though it is, but necessary, that we come to those places to remind us of our continual dependence upon him. Because of our pride, otherwise, if we didn't, we would think we could fend for ourselves. And that we had come to the position where we could sustain our own grace. We can't. But he can. But he will remind us of where that grace comes from. "Go thy way forth by the footsteps of the flock." And what is grace? It's the fruit of Christ's presence in our life. It is not salvation. It's the fruit of salvation. Just like the fruit isn't the tree, is it? It's the proof that there's life in that tree. And the proof there's life in your soul is you will be given grace. And grace is God's influence upon you. It's God's presence with you. It's God's guidance and the outworking of it in your life. "Go thy way forth by the footsteps of the flock." And so you will come to love the word of God where once you hated it, where once you shunned it. Because it will become your food and your drink, spiritually speaking. And some of you have known, have you not, for God to speak to you through it. There are passages which God has spoken to you personally. Some of them may be promises. Some of them may be teaching, some of them may be direction, some may be a revelation of some precious doctrine. But they're precious to you, more perhaps in other parts of the word, because they are what your shepherd has spoken to you. And that's what has taught you to love the word of God, because it is the word of the one you've been now brought to love and to trust and to follow. The footsteps of the flock. The worship of his house. The worship of his name, sorry, not of his house. The worship in his house. We don't worship the house, do we? We worship the God of the house. That's what makes a house precious. And you know, if it is true, what we read in Mark, and it was noise that he was in the house. If you have a love for the shepherd, should not that make you want to come here? It is one of the footsteps of the flock. And some of you have known, haven't you? Where once you would rather have been anywhere than here, if you were honest. Now you would rather live here than anywhere else. Where once you found it the worst hours of the week that you had to spend here, now they're the best hours of the week. Where once you couldn't wait for the Bible to close and the minister to say amen, now you rejoice when you see the Bible opened and you wished it was never closed. What's the difference? You're in the footsteps of the flock. You're feeding. You're in the way of life. Time is gone. So I must close. But there's one more footstep this evening that I must mention. And that is the footsteps of his ordinances, one of which is before us this evening. Believers' baptism and the Lord's Supper. They're for the sheep, and they're for the lambs. And my one comment this evening, as I close, is to that one who this evening looks upon this table, and you have such a longing, that you feel such a drawing, such a desire to be sitting down here in a few moments. But you're held back. Why? Because you feel you're only a lamb. Not very strong. Very weak. Very feeble perhaps. And perhaps you feel compared to others in the flock to be insignificant. But you know, friends, the lambs go forth by the footsteps of the flock as well as the sheep. And they are encouraged to do so. Not only that, in Bible days, the shepherd, when he put his flock out to pasture, he would lead the flock out from where they'd spent the safety in the sheepfold, and they'd lead it through the streets and through the wilderness to where the pastures were and where the water were and where the shade was, which would be very important for noon. Notice it says resting at noon. And of course, interestingly, a sheep will only rest when it's satisfied. A hungry sheep doesn't rest. But the point I'm making is that sometimes there would be a lamb which was weak, too weak to make the journey. And so the shepherd would take that lamb and carry it. And perhaps this evening, that's where you are. You feel you're being carried because of your weakness. But you know, there was no one closer to that shepherd than that one that was being carried, was there? They were the nearest on his heart. And so this evening, his word to you, little sheep this evening, little lamb, in regards to his ordinances, as in regard to the rest of the footsteps, is to go forth by the footsteps of the flock. And in going forth, you won't find a rejection, but a welcome. Tell me, O thou whom my soul loveth, where thou feedest, where thou makest thy flock to rest at noon, why should I be as one that turneth aside by the flocks of thy companions? You know, if you've got the shepherd near, that's all you need. If thou know not, O thou fairest among women, go thy way forth by the footsteps of the flock, for they will end in heaven.
Let us close with hymn number 162. 162. May we sing this hymn with the desire to behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. When on my beloved I gaze, so dazzling his beauties appear, his charms so transcendently blaze, the sight is too melting to bear. When from my own vileness I turn to Jesus exposed on the tree, with shame and with wonder I burn to think what he suffered for me. Hymn 162.
do forgive. O Lord, all that thou hast seen wrong in our worship of thy great and holy name thus far this day, in mercy draw us into the footsteps of the flock. And then, Lord, guide and keep us in that way. And help us to be obedient sheep following the Lamb whithersoever he goeth. Help those of us now who seek to follow thee to this table. Grant, Lord, that we may find thy presence there. Remember us as we seek to remember thee. Be with any who now depart and go on their way. Be with those who remain behind to watch from afar. May the grace of the Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ, and the love of God the Father, and the communion of the Holy Spirit the Comforter, rest and remain with us now and forevermore. Amen.